Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
Tonight, Romans chapter number five, and I want to give you a few thoughts out of here this morning, out of Romans chapter number five. I love the book of Romans, man. It's a wonderful book, and I especially love Romans chapter 6, chapter 7, and Romans chapter number 8. Romans 6, 7, and 8 really goes hand in hand with the book of Joshua whenever you study it out, because Romans 6, 7, and 8 is dealing with living a victorious Christian life and the peace and the joy and the happiness that we have once we are saved. But Romans chapter number 5 deals with salvation. Chapter number 4 deals with justification. And chapter number 5 deals with exception. We are accepted into the family of God through Jesus Christ. Amen. And I want to look at some things here this morning. Some of the things, the main points that I'll give you when I get there is points that I've used before out of this chapter, but I have several new things in the introduction I want to give you today and see if we can learn something here out of chapter number 5 of the book of Romans. Let's stand in honor and reverence to the reading of God's word. Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says in verse number 1, "Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord, Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Go with me now to verse number 8. "But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Boy, isn't that good? Look at verse number 12. "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned." Go with me to verse number 19. "For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound." But look what the Bible said. "But where sin abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through the righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord." If you write in your Bible or underline in your Bible, I would invite you to underline the closing of verse number 20. "But where sin abound, grace did much more abound." And then right out beside of that, hallelujah, amen, praise God, thank you, Jesus, amen. "Where sin did abound, grace did much more abound." Now, Father, I love you today. I pray, God, that over the next few minutes, God, that you would help us, God, to relay to the people, God, what you have put in our hearts studying this week. I pray, God, Lord, that it would find a lodging place in their hearts. Father, no doubt there may be somebody here today that don't know you as their Savior. God, no doubt there's somebody here today, Father, that is searching for peace, searching for happiness, God. And I pray, Lord, that through the preaching of your word, that they'll see that we can have that in you. I pray, God, that you give us liberty and use us as only you can do. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. You can be seated this morning. I want to look into these verses for just a little while and talk to you out here out of chapter number 5. When we come to chapter number 5, in the first 5 verses, we see how God has lifted us. us. In verse number 6 through verse number 11, we see how God has loved us. He not only lifted us, but God loved us. And then in verses number 12 through verse number 21, in closing out this chapter, we see how God has loosed us. Amen. In other words, there was a time in our life that we lived in bondage, we lived in slavery, we was born sinners by one man. Sin entered into the world, and because of that, now death is passed upon all men. But aren't you glad today that by the grace of God, we can be loosed from the sin that has us held in bondage? I began studying chapter number 5 again this week, and there's some wonderful truths that we find here in chapter number 5. Notice, first of all, the word therefore, by way of introduction, in chapter 5, verse number 1. Anytime I read the word therefore, I ask myself this question: what is that therefore? Are you, therefore, it's linking something. Why is that there? Well, when you go back to chapter number 4, look in verse number 24. But for us also to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again, watch this, for our justification. You see, in chapter number 4, he is dealing with justification by faith. And in chapter number 5, he says, therefore, because of faith, we can be justified. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I began to study this verse out, and let me give you a few things. I'll say this to you, that our justification is not by works. Let me say that again. Our justification is not by works. I cannot work enough to justify me in the sight of God. Our justification is by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Note what your Bible says, the words being justified by faith. The word justified is in the aorist tense, which means the action took place in the past as a simple once and for all a past action which could have a lasting result. It took place in the past, once and for all, with a lasting result. You say, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this: that day on Calvary, I was justified that day. It was up to me to accept that justification, but that day on Calvary, I was justified. I read on and I found this interesting. As a simple once and for all past action which could have a lasting result. When a person has been saved, he has been justified and will continue to be justified by the Lord Jesus Christ. There he is, I'm going to try not to bog down on this. But there is a doctrine that I never dealt with much at all until I come to this area. And it is a false doctrine. And it is the doctrine of losing your salvation. You cannot find that in the Word of God. It's not there. Over and over and over and over over and over again throughout the New Testament, he makes reference to eternal life. If I lose my salvation and I have to do something to get my salvation back, then we have just brought works into salvation. It's for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. If I can lose it, when do I lose it? Who sets the standard for me losing it? When can I get it back? sets the standard for getting it back. Are you say, well, preacher, that eternal security doctrine, this is the argument. That's nothing more than a license to sin. You can go out if you believe that eternal security stuff. That means you can go out and live your life any way you want to and get by with it. That's where you're wrong. It does not mean that. And can I say something? I could go live my life any way I want to, but there is the judgment of God and the chastisement of God that comes on our life. And he's saying to us right here, he's saying to us that justification comes from God, and it is a continual justification. Oh, yes, that will help you this morning if you'll get a hold of it. I would hate to think that I could be going down the road and have a wrong thought go through my mind and fall over dead, and because that wrong thought went through my mind, I went to hell. I'm going to tell you what you not believing eternal security is. If you don't believe eternal security, that's bondage. You'll go crazy. Amen, amen, and amen again. Paul continues to say this. We're justified by faith. And he continues to say that we have peace. We have peace today. Paul is making a bold statement. The verb we have is in what is called the indicative mood in the Greek language, which means that Paul is making a strong assertion or a statement. Paul is not saying, I can have peace. Paul is saying, because of justification, I have peace. Oh, yes. Listen to me. I'm trying to get somewhere in the message this morning. I am not working for peace. I have peace. I'm not hoping to gain peace. I have peace. The world may be going crazy, but I sure am glad that because of my justification, I now have peace with God. Watch this. We have peace. Paul is making a statement. He's making a statement. It is what is called that in the active mood in the Greek language, which means Paul is making a strong assertion or statement. He is not implying a statement. He is making a crystal clear statement. Paul says, we have peace with God now. We don't have to wait until we get to heaven. I don't have to hope for it, but now I have peace. I went on to study this word peace. Listen to this. The word peace is from a Greek word, irene. It not only means to have peace or harmony, but listen to this, but to be without trouble, to have no worries, to sit down on one's heart, to bind together that which has been separated. Oh, you say, preacher, what are you saying this morning? Here's what I'm saying. He's saying the peace that we have with God, it's just not a peace or a harmony. It is to be without trouble. I don't have to walk around with my head down today. Amen. It means to bind together. It means to have no worries. You know what we do a lot of times? We bury worry. We bury worry. And you know what he's saying to us today? He's saying, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace today. Salvation brings peace. I'll probably say this again before I get done today. Alcohol will never bring peace. Drugs will never bring peace. Some kind of prescription will never bring peace. Amen. Running in this world will never bring peace. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace, though. I have it through the Lord. Watch this. The word with means facing. It means facing. I read this and, man, I got blessed by it. It means facing. We have peace facing God. We are not guiltless, unashamed, uncondemned, or we are guiltless, we are unashamed, we're uncondemned and righteous in God's presence because what Jesus Christ done for us. Listen, I can't stand in God's presence. I can't access God because of my sin. Because of my sin. But what did Jesus do? He that knew no sin became sin. So why? So I could be made the righteousness of God through Him. Now through His Son, I can stand. Oh yes, I can stand before God. I can stand before Him guiltless. I can stand before Him unashamed. I can stand before Him uncondemned. Why? Because of my justification. Because of my justification. You remember when your kids was little bitty? Mine's growing old fast, it seems like, and that means I'm growing even older. But you remember, and even still now, they'll do this every once in a while, Brother Will, you'll scald them real good and they'll look at the ground. I don't let mine look at the ground. You say, well, what are you making? I make them look at me in the eyeball. I say, no, Madeline, you look up here in my eyes. Olivia, pick your head up. Look in my eyes. No, look at me in the eyes. Are you with me? But what do we do when we get scalded? A lot of times, boy, people put their head down. Why? Because they're ashamed. They're ashamed. That's the reason they put their head down. You ever talk to somebody and confronted something and they won't look you eyeball to eyeball? It's because they're ashamed. I have no problem looking somebody. Everybody all right this morning? I might be chasing a rabbit right now. I don't have a problem looking somebody eyeball to eyeball. They're ashamed. Hear me today. When I approach the throne of God, I do not have to pray. Oh, yes. Brother Josh, I don't have to approach the throne of God with my head down. But because of my justification, with facing God, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. I can face God. I can look God eyeball to eyeball. Why? Because my sins are gone. Of the day I got saved, I was justified. And I now have access to God through His Son. He says that we have peace. This verse is telling the child of God that we have peace with Him. Do not need peace. We have peace. Man was declared at war with God in chapter number 1 of Romans. He's declared at one, and can I just say this, chapter number 1 still in the Bible. All of Romans chapter number 1 still in the Bible. Every jot and every tittle of Romans chapter number 1 is still in the Word of God. Some of you understand what I'm saying. You that don't, go home and read the closing of Romans chapter number 1. It's all still in the Word of God. And because of sin, we are brought in enmity. We are an enemy of God. So here's what he's saying to us today. Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. How? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. You hear me and you hear me well. You'll never find peace any other way. Let me tell you the reason that they can't find places to put people in rehab today is because they're searching for peace every other way. The peace of God. Listen to what the Bible said. Listen to this. Isaiah chapter number 48, verse number 22. There is no peace, saith the Lord, unto the wicked. Listen to what the Bible said in James chapter number 4, verse number 4. Ye adulterers, ye adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. John chapter number 8, verse number 44. Ye are of your fathers the devil, and the lust of your fathers ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. You say, preacher, what do you say? The wicked have no peace today. Have you ever seen somebody and they had a smile on their face, but they was miserable? Leslie and I have talked before, and we've made visits and talked to people before, and whenever we left, we would make this statement. Boy, they sure acted like they was happy, but man, they was miserable. They was miserable. Well, they can put a smile on their face. They can act like everything's all right. But deep down inside, they're miserable. Let me tell you the reason why. They got a problem with them and God. They got a problem with them and God. And what is he saying to us today? He's saying that we can have peace. Is that not what the world is after today? Is that not what the world is after today? They're after peace. Hear me and hear me well. I promise you, Joe Biden will never bring peace. You can say amen right there. I promise you, that woman that's running with him will never bring peace. I can promise you, now don't get upset, okay? Let me just keep preaching. I promise you, Donald Trump will never bring peace to this country. If he does come back and run for office and wins the election, he's not going to bring peace to this country. Maybe we can get gas a little bit cheaper, but he's not going to bring peace to this country. There is going to come a day that the world is going to continue to get worse and worse and worse. You said, preacher, I didn't come to hear that this morning. It's just the facts. It's what this book right here says. The world will continue to get worse and worse and worse. And you know what's going to happen? All of a sudden, it's going to get so bad that a man's going to step out on the scene carrying a bow with no arrow in it as a symbol of peace, and he's going to be called the Antichrist. And he's going to say the answer to all these problems is to take this mark right here, and you'll not have to worry about anything else. But that will not bring peace. And can I just back up and say something? I won't be here when he steps out on the scene. You say, well, preacher, we might be here for part of that tribulation. Man, go home and study the Bible. We leave in the beginning of Revelation, chapter number 4, chapter number 5, right in there. And we're coming back in chapter number 19. The church is not mentioned nowhere in the tribulation period. I'm not going to be here. Amen. But there's going to be one step out on the scene that says that he can bring peace. Here's what I come to tell you this morning. Peace has already been brought. I don't need some man to bring peace. The Savior has already brought it. You say, preacher, man, my life is in trouble. I'm trying to find happiness. I'm trying to find peace. Hear me and hear me well. It's here. It's here. I thought about this. On Wednesday and Thursday, I spent a lot of time with Brother Jonathan and Miss Nicole. They actually ended up was able to come to the pastor's retreat. They were scheduled to be there anyway, and it worked out where they could still come. And I spent a lot of time with them. I seen Brother Jonathan with a smile on his face. I seen Miss Nicole with a smile on her face. Even though her daddy had just went home to be with the Lord, I seen her with a smile on her face. I seen tears run down her face in the worship services of that pastor's retreat. And you know what the world would say? I don't understand that. Well, listen to what the Bible says in Philippians chapter number 4, verse number 7. And the peace of God, which passeth all understandings, shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Well, what did he say right here? Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. If my daddy was preaching, he would say it this way: Bud Dummer will never bring you peace, and Miller Lowlife will never bring you peace. He said it never made Bud wiser, it made him dumber. He said it never give the Miller family a high life, it give them a low life. He said you'll never find peace in it. You'll never find peace in this world. But there is a peace that can be found this morning that passeth all understandings. How does the world look at a man and his wife that just lost his father-in-law and she just lost her daddy, and they still got a smile on their face, and they look at them and say, I don't understand that. It's because there's a peace that passeth all of it. Oh, yes. You say, well, preacher, how do I get this peace? Well, it's real simple. You got to be saved. You got to be saved. You say, well, preacher, I prayed this prayer. I didn't ask you if you prayed a prayer. You got to be saved. You got, well, preacher, I done this and I done. You got to be saved. So, preacher, how do I get saved? Well, I'm glad you asked me because I preached all morning to get there and for somebody to ask me that question. How do I get this peace? How can I have a peace that passeth all understanding? Can I be real honest with you? There are some times that I don't sleep good, but usually it's because I drank a cup of coffee too late. Are you with me? For the most part, I sleep really good for about 2 or 3 hours. And the older I get, Brother Brian, I just wake up in the middle of the night and I lay there and look at the ceiling and pray and doze back off every once in a while. But my wife will tell you this, I have no trouble going to sleep. I can lay down on that pew and go to sleep. I can lay down on that floor and go to sleep. People used to pick on me when I was a little boy because we would go visiting with Mom and Daddy, and I'd lay down in the floor of their house and go to sleep, man. I don't worry about much. Now, there's times that you get concerned. Somebody help me right there. You're concerned about things, but just to sit around and worry myself sick, man, I've got peace with God. You say, well, you don't have peace with me. Well, it really don't matter because I got it with God, and that's the main thing. Preacher, how do you get that peace? Well, you got to be saved. Preacher, how do I get saved? Can I just show you very simply this morning right here in chapter number 5? Give me about 5, 6, 8, 12, 15 minutes and I'll be done. Let me show you. Number one, you got to see yourself a sinner. You know, a lot of people today thinks that, well, they're just good. And we make this statement so often. Well, you know what, old Josh Lawson, he's a good old feller. Well, he might be a good old feller, but that don't mean he's saved. No, I believe Brother Josh is saved. Are you saved, Brother Josh? He said, amen, I think so today I am. No, I believe Brother Josh is saved. He has testimony of being saved. He has fruits of salvation. Are you with me this morning? His testimony bears what he said. When I say his testimony, I'm talking about the way he lives. It bears what he said. But being a good old boy will never get you to heaven. There's a lot of... Hey, look up in here. On Wednesday or on Friday, this church was packed. Packed out with good old boys. There was a lot of them come through the line, didn't stay for the service. They sat down for just a little bit and then they got on out of here. I talked to them. You know what? There's good people. They said, well, I believe, Brother Will, I could call them at any time, day or night, and they'd do their best to come help me. They're good people, but they're going to go to hell. If you're going to have peace with God, you've got to realize you're a sinner. Listen to what the Bible said. Verse number 8, but God commendeth his love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Look what he said in verse number 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men. Watch this, for that all have sinned. You know what that word all means in the Greek right there? Hey, y'all know Greek too, don't you? Brother Tony was preaching. He said, I know a little Hebrew and a little Greek. He said, one runs a service station, the other runs a restaurant. But that word means all. Every person sitting in this room is a sinner. And until you realize that you're a sinner, until you realize that you're lost, until you realize that you're on the road to hell, you'll never get saved. There's a song come out years ago. It said, I'm so glad I got lost so I could be found. And a lot of people criticized that song. They said, well, that's not scriptural. And I said, well, what's not scriptural about it? If you never got lost, you never got saved. You got to realize you're a sinner this morning. He said, "Preacher, I do good things." I don't disagree with you there, but you're still a sinner. If you're ever going to be saved, number one, we must see ourselves a sinner. Number two, we must see ourselves in need of a Savior. You see, we need Him. We need, amen. We need Him. Look in verse number 15. "But not of the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one, many be dead." Verse number 16, the middle of the verse says, "For the judgment was by one to condemnation." Verse number 17 says, "For if by one man's offenses death reigned by one." Verse number 18 says, "Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation." The Bible says in verse number 21, "That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign unto reign through righteousness unto eternal life." What did he say? "That as sin hath reigned unto death." You see, yes, we are a sinner. But can I say something to you this morning? We need a Savior. We need a Savior. You remember Genesis, don't you? That by one man sin entered into the world. That's who he's talking about. He's talking about Adam right there. He's talking about Adam and Eve. You remember Genesis, don't you? Genesis chapter 1, 2, 3, right in there in chapter number 3. God was walking with man in the cool of the day and was fellowshipping with him. But Adam and Eve sinned, and because of that, God came back in the cool of the day, and Adam and Eve hid themselves, and God said, "Adam, Adam, where art thou? Where art thou?" You see, that fellowship with God was broken. That fellowship with God was broken. And what did God do? God made a sacrifice for Adam and Eve. God made garments for Adam and Eve. God clothed Adam and Eve so that they could now be brought back into fellowship with God. All throughout the Old Testament, you know what was happening? That sacrifice was continually to be made. But they said this, "There is somebody coming." Oh yes, there is a ultimate sacrifice that's going to come through the way of a virgin by the name of Mary. And all throughout the Old Testament, that sacrifice was made. Why? So they could have peace with God. But in the New Testament, this man that has been prophesied about shows up on the scene, and his name is Jesus. Oh, you see, we were sinners and we needed a Savior. We needed somebody that could bring us back into fellowship with God. We needed somebody that could bring peace to our troubled souls. Oh, yeah. You got to see yourself a sinner. You got to see yourself in need of a Savior. But watch this. You got to realize who the Savior is. It's not just any old person. It's not just any old way to heaven. Watch this. The Bible said in verse number 1, "Therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through who? Our Lord Jesus Christ." Verse number 2, he says this, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God." Note what your Bible said. Look in verse number 10. "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God," watch this, "by the death of His Son." Look in verse number 11. "And not only so, but we also joy in God through" what? "Through our Lord Jesus Christ." What did he say in verse number 15? "For if through the offense of one many be dead." Now let's read on. "Much more the grace of God and the gift by grace which is by one man, Jesus Christ." Amen. Verse 16. "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more, they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in the life by one who? Jesus Christ. Boy, that's good preaching if I am doing it. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might, watch this, grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by what? Jesus Christ our Lord. If you ain't got nothing I've said, get this. The only way to peace is Christ. Amen. You'll never find it no other way. It's all right there. Right, man, that's beautiful. Amen. He condemns us and brings us right back. Amen. What did he say? But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, verse number 8, Christ died for us. You see, every one of us is sinners today. Every one of us at one point in time in our life, if you're saved now, at one point in time in our life was in need of a Savior. And at one point in our life, we realized who the Savior was, and it was Jesus Christ. Thank God for Mary birthing Jesus into this world, but she'll never save you. She'll never save you. The only way you'll ever find peace is through him. There's no other way. You say, well, preacher, what do I do now? I realize I'm a sinner, and I realize that there's a Savior, and I realize that I need him. Well, the Bible said this in Romans chapter number 10. Come start playing softly, if you will, Miss Tanya. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. See, there'll have to come that time where you say, God, I'm sorry, I'm a sinner. God, I want you to come into my heart and save me. What did he say in verse 13? For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you trust in your works to get you to heaven, you're going to die and go to hell. If you trust in being a good person to get you to heaven, you're going to die and go to hell. If the only place you ever look for true peace and joy is in this world, you'll never find it. You may find a little happiness, because the Bible said this. Let's preach the whole canon, Hebrews 11:25. Choosing rather suffer the affliction with the people of God than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. You may be having a good time in sin right now, but it's going to leave. It's going to leave. And the only way you'll ever find peace is in Christ. There was a little boy one day that was standing outside the Buckingham Palace. And he started to go past the guards, and the guards reached out and got him and pushed him back. Whenever they did, the little boy began to cry. And he looked at the guards, and here's what he said. I really need to see the king. They pushed him back. The guards went back to their place. There was a man come walking down the street in a suit and a tie. Seeing the young boy sitting there as he was brushing the tears back out of his eyes, and he walked up to him and he said, young man, what's wrong? The young man looked at him and he said, I really would like to have a word with the king. And he said, is that so? The young man said, yes, sir. He said, well, take my hand, son. The little boy reached over and got the hand of the adult man that had walked up. And as he approached the guards, all of the guards came to attention and raised their arms. And they walked past the guards, walked into the Buckingham Palace, walked straight to the king's quarters, opened the door, walked in, and the adult man turned and looked at the son, or the young man, and he said, "This is my dad, the king." You see, all of us wants to have a word with the king. But the law says that we can't. We cannot keep the law. You cannot keep the Ten Commandments. But aren't you glad there was a time that a man named Jesus was born on the scene? And that when we stand back brushing the tears out of our eyes wanting to have a word with the king, that Jesus steps up and allows us to be clothed in his righteousness and takes us right in to the chambers of the king and allows us to speak with him. Let me tell you where you'll find peace at the chamber of the king. Let me tell you where you'll find a true happiness at the chamber of the king. Let me tell you where you'll find true joy at the chamber of the king. But the only way you'll ever get to the chamber of the king is through the Son.